kind of think of one story I read, and I don't really know where I read it, but I think it was one of the Buddhist stories that asking people, basically asking like to a crowd, who is really happy? And, well, the person was asking was the master, so in that tradition, you don't dare to raise your hand to say, I'm happy. So it was quiet. So he asked again then, who is unhappy? Again, nobody raised hand. He looked at them. So, you don't even know your feelings. You can't say you're happy. You can't say you're unhappy. Where are you then? And most of times, we are in the mixture of it. Isn't it? Sometimes you're happy, and sometimes you're unhappy. And sometimes that feeling flips between them like by a split second. It happens, right? You may have a glorious morning, a beautiful morning, getting up, good breakfast, going out, driving, somebody just cuts you and then like, what happens? Right? So, and then you complain about it, you think about it, then that becomes the somehow the ruling affection in the morning. Then you go to your workplace, it's not happy anymore, then, you know, a friend of yours give you a flower out of blue, like, and a coffee, and you're like, it's good, and you are happy again. That's our mind in most cases. Now, would you like that? That your mood, the way you feel about yourself, changes over and over again by the causes and influences that has absolutely no certainty about. In a way, all religion wants to teach you that, to bring more, not certainty, because life is uncertain, but about more stability on your side, not the outside world. Because outside world has been crazy and chaotic, and it will be. And we have absolutely no control over that. But what's inside you, that can be different. So how do you prepare that? That's the big question. You may see those people kind of facing same problem as you are. Literally, the word goes freak out. They seem to be calm and maintain it. How does that happen? Maybe because there is an innate nature. There certainly is, but that's not all. In today's story, you hear this one woman whose name is Rahab in Hebrew, and one man, Matthew. We don't really know details about their life, honestly. We just know one day out of their whole life. That's all we know. Not even that, probably. We only see one action they did, but one critical action that they did. That's all that we see. But in order to do that, don't you agree that they have prepared themselves somehow? They have lived in a way that they could grasp the opportunity when it happens. There's a saying that If you are prepared, you may have least of the problems. If you're prepared. So how do you prepare yourself? In my understanding, I kind of see this Rahab, more in the way of preparing herself, more in the way of kind of looking in a long vision and being attentive, being sensitive about what is happening. But not just about what is happening out there in relation to her life, in relation to her family, in relation to what she can do. And her actions saved her family out of this disaster. And she became, from being a prostitute to a heroine. If you read Hebrews, there are about a few names they kind of list in Book of Hebrews chapter 11 when it says meaning of faith, and they talk about Abel, Enoch, Noah, Abraham, Moses, and then there is Rahab, or Rahab. That's one of the faithful persons. Isn't that amazing? So today, one thing, if you were to have one thing in your mind when you're going home about what from this, it is about you being able to hear when the calling happens. Matthew and Rahab were just having their life just as any other day. This is the beauty of the Bible story. In a lot of cases, these people are just living just like the day before. There's nothing special, nothing extraordinary on their side. They were doing exactly what they were doing. Like also the Samaritan woman who was coming to the well and Jesus is waiting for her. They were doing exactly the same thing they were doing before. But in one of those days, something happened. And they were able to hear it, they were able to see it, and they were able to grasp the opportunity and make the whole change of their life. Two things require to do that. One is preparation. Are you willing to prepare yourself? And two, to be awake. Because if you are taking a nap, the opportunity may just pass by you and you may not see it. Just like those five, you know, there were 10 maidens, five of them slept, while five other were awake and waiting. So when the groom came, they were invited. The other five were left outside. The door was shut, and God saying, sorry, it's too late. I believe God is very fair, very wise, very loving. God sends to all of us almost equal opportunity. Not to be rich, don't get me wrong, not to be rich or not to be successful. Not in that way, but to achieve peace, happiness, contentness in heart. God gives equal opportunity to, I believe, almost all human beings. Yet, when the moment comes to make a critical change, transformation to your heart. If you're not prepared, you may not be even able to see the opportunity. And yet, if you are prepared, but if you're taking a nap at the moment, you don't see it. It just passes by you. Somehow, these two people in the Bible are those who had them. Not only prepared themselves, not only saw the opportunity, but grasped it. And as you know, what they gained, Rahab saved her family and gave life to her family. And Matthew received another life, which we call spiritual life. So what they gained is actually life. They saved themselves from being destruction to the life. And we get those opportunities. These opportunities will pass by us, not at a special moment. That's the key point I'm kind of trying to explain. It may not happen here. Worship is a place that, see, none of them met Jesus at the temple. I mean, do you know any disciple was called by Jesus at the temple? Or at the time of worship? At the time of teaching? No. None. They're all called by Jesus doing what they were doing on an everyday basis. So, the teaching is, you have to live the way you believe to be right outside the church. That's the preparation. Kind of simple, isn't it? In a way, if you're Buddhist, live like Buddhist. Talk like Buddhist. Walk like Buddhist. If you're Christian, well, you live like Christian. You talk like Christian. You act like Christian. So what's Christian principle? Love. So how much love, how much loving are you putting in your life? How much of it is actually in your actions, in your being, in your talking with others? Are you trying to receive? Are you complaining that these people are not giving it to you? Or are you complaining to yourself that I'm not giving enough to others? In that split difference is the righteous that Jesus is not calling and the sinners that Jesus is calling. When we're saying, Lord, world is horrible. Those people are crazy. They're bad. Well, I'm saying, I'm the righteous, and Jesus is saying, well, I don't really need you at this moment, because I can't really help you. You're self-righteous. But if you are saying, Lord, I want to do something more, I want to be more loving, but I can't. There's something that inside me blocking it. Help me. And one of those days, you'll have the moment. So, what changes? What changes our attitude? Who changes your attitude? Who changes your heart? We wish God changes it. We wish, really. But we know you change it. You have to change. I have to change mine. You have to change yours. Then we together have to change ours. Then there comes this peace and the joy that you want. And when that comes, it's great. Because there is this feeling in your heart that never goes away, and nobody can take it away either, or nothing can take it away either. May God bless you on your effort, in your prayers, but most importantly, in your self-examinations. Amen.